Shvias, Perek Ches, Mishnah Dalet, 8:4. The Mishnah continues to discuss certain restrictions regarding doing commerce with produce from the Shemitah year. As we've seen already, when a person uses money to purchase Shemitah produce, even when permitted to do so, the money gets the Kedusha of the Shemitah produce. So our Mishnah is going to distinguish between two types of transactions with someone who's acquiring or obtaining Shemitah produce for another person. So the Mishnah is quite subtle. The point is subtle, and the subtlety is actually sort of exacerbated by the subtlety of language. So let me explain the concept first, and then we'll try to see it in the words. The concept is, if I hire a person to do labor for me, like say just for, you know, shipping and handling, to bring me some, to do some work for me, and that includes going out to the fields and collecting some, you know, wild produce, which is not restricted under the rules of Shemitah, meaning like it's not under the restrictions of Sfichin. So if I'm paying him for his labor, that's totally permissible. It's not considered to be doing work with Shemitah produce, commerce with Shemitah produce, and the money that I give him is not in exchange for the produce, and therefore it doesn't become encumbered with the Kedusha Shvias, with the sanctity of Shemitah produce. It's just clean, straight money for his labor. And that goes on in the present day in Israel. When a person, you know, you're allowed to pay for the shipping and delivery, etc., transport of Shemitah produce. On the other hand, if I would actually ask you to give me some of your Shemitah produce in exchange for money, so then that's a commercial transaction, and even if it's permitted, still the money would now become Dmei Shvias, so it would become money that has the sanctity and restrictions of Shemitah produce as well. So our Mishnah is going to make a point, which is going to say, if I make it with my worker that he should go to the field and pick some produce for me in the Shemitah year, and I'll compensate him for his labors and give him a coin for his work, that's permissible, and that coin has no encumbrance, no Shemitah restrictions on it. On the other hand, if I say, you know, go forage, and then I'll buy what you bring back, so then certainly even if it's the same amount of money and the same amount of work, since the deal is not I'm paying you for your labor, but I'm paying you for the goods you're bringing, so now when I give him the coin in exchange for the produce, the coin is invested with Kedusha Shvias, with the sanctity and the restrictions of Shemitah produce. So it's simply how you set up the transaction. If it's for labor, then it's not going to be restricted. And if it's going to be for the good that you're bringing back, it is going to be restricted. Again, even if the actions are the same, the amount of work is the same, you know, everything is the same. Just it's a subtlety based on what I'm paying for. Am I paying for your labor or for your good? That's what the Mishnah has to say in its first case. So there's two parts, part one and part two. In part one, we have part 1a and part 1b, and we'll differentiate in a and b between labor and goods. So let's see it in the words. I'll do my best to translate it, although it's really quite subtle in Hebrew and almost lost in translation, beyond my abilities to translate exactly. It says, Ha'omer lepoel, if a person says to his worker, Heilach iser zeh, ulkot li yarak hayom, schara mutter. If I say to my worker, here is a coin for you, and iser is a small coin, here is a coin for you of money, and that's for your services, and go and pick for me vegetables today. So the money that he gets for that service, for the labor, is mutter, is unrestricted, meaning it has no restrictions whatsoever. It's a permitted act, and it's permitted to the coin, he can do what he wants with. On the other hand, if I say lakot li bo yarakayom, if I say essentially go pick something for me and I'll give you this coin in exchange for the vegetable you picked today, so then scharo asr, then the money that the worker receives is restricted. It's forbidden. Not that the transaction is necessarily forbidden, but the money is asur. Asur doesn't always mean just forbidden, as in it's not allowed to be done. As in like the bracha matir asurim, the word who means that God releases the bound. That when something is ne'esar, means it's bound, it's restricted. So we've seen that actually before in the Masechta. And again, here we're saying that the money that he gets is restricted with the restrictions of Shemitah produce. One can't do commerce with them and all sorts of things. Okay, that's the first 1a and 1b of the Mishnah. And again, the point is straightforward, I think, even if the words are a little tricky. The second part of the Mishnah is similarly subtle, but it's a different point. The point is, according to the Bar Tanora, if I take from a baker, I'll do it inside. It says, Lakach min anachtom ki karbapundyon. If one takes from a baker a loaf of bread, it's worth a pundyon. Pundyon is a coin, that doesn't matter. Now, I took it and I didn't pay for it. But when I take it, I say to the baker, Kishe elkot yurako sada, when I go around and pick some wild vegetables in the Shemitah year from the fields where it's permitted to pick, they're wild. Avilach, I'll bring you one as a, you know, as another gift. In other words, the setup here is that I'm getting as a gift from the baker a loaf of bread, and I'm going to give him a gift of some vegetables when I pick them. So it's not a straight quid pro quo. It's not that I'm buying their bread and having a debt. It's simply that he does a good turn for me, giving me a loaf of bread, and I'll do a good turn for him and bring him a gift of vegetables when I go to pick them. So that's mutter. That's allowed because it's just a gift for a gift. It's not doing business. The way the Rambam learns it is, to me at least, more plausible. But it's different. The Rambam learns that it indeed is bartering. But bartering, I say I'll trade you some vegetables for some bread, is not normal commerce. And that being the case, it's permitted because it's not the normal way of doing business, which is what's restricted in the Shemitah year. Either way, we'll go back to the Bar Tanura's pshat. You do a kindness for me and give me a gift of a bread, and I can do a kindness for you and bring you back some vegetables. But if, on the other hand, lakat menustam, if I simply take the loaf of bread and I don't specify how I'll be compensating you for the bread, or if I'll be compensating you, so then it's obvious that I intend to pay you back sooner or later. I incur a debt. He's a baker. He's there doing his selling bread business. So by me taking the bread, it's obvious I've incurred the debt of having to pay him for the bread. And that being the case, lo yishalom lo midmei shvius, I can't pay him with Shemitah money. That is to say, the money that has restrictions of Shemitah on it, like in the previous case, the Mishnah, like the worker who I paid him for his vegetables, that would have restrictions, was also restricted with Shemitah produce, kedusha, and I couldn't use such a coin to repay for the loaf of bread I took. And it goes without saying, you couldn't pay with Shemitah produce proper. Why? She'ein porin chov midmei shvius. You can't repay your debts using the currency of Shemitah money, or certainly not Shemitah produce itself, because it's restricted. That's doing normal commerce. So if you're incurring a debt, or you're setting up a straight liability, then you can't use midmei shvius, the money that has the restrictions of Shemitah produce, and certainly you can't use Shemitah produce proper. But to do a favor in both directions is okay, according to the Bar Tanura and according to the Rambam, to barter, you know, to just like a simple exchange of this for that, would be okay, because it's not the normal way of doing commerce.